As the Tigers prep for the Hogs, Hog fans more interested in what they're going to do off the field. Who's going to be their next head coach? The biggest spread maybe in a long, long time. No doubt about that. Tigers by 44 points. The Pelicans are on a roll. They see if they can get their job done tonight in Phoenix. Plus, the Trojans are coming to town. Not inside a wooden horse, but at 5-5, 3-3 in league play, a very dangerous offensive opponent for the Cajuns and Ron Roberts' defense. We'll have a preview. Plus, Michael Huguenin will join us and make his picks on a busy, busy weekend of college football. It's all coming your way. Great to be back today, Thursday, November 21st, 2019.
Love the intensity he brings to the field, but we don't really worry about the defense. You know, my mentality is always we can never lose a game if we score more points than the other team. So let's go out and score as many points as we can, and defense will stop them from scoring.
Well, I stated from the beginning that I didn't think it was fair, but there's nothing that I can do about it. I mean, obviously, James should be on the floor. That's just how I feel.
Are you disappointed in the LSU defense in 2019? What do you say to
them? Hell no. I love our defense. We're 10-0. And listen, when you talk about that other stuff, it's block out the noise. All that stuff on TV don't matter. We got to play football games, and we got to focus in on the task at hand. And right now, it's beating Arkansas, and that's all we focus in on.
How about that? Welcome. After a day off yesterday, which I greatly appreciate, CD and Nick Fontenot filling in for me as we got a great report on our daughter, thank God, and her surgically repaired back. So good day in the Holtberg household, and we certainly appreciate Nick filling in for us. But we're back, and we're better than ever, and it's great to be here on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. My Rock is back there manning the master controls in the 237 Roof Studios, and that, of course, is CD, Clint Domain, the famous CD, and we are off and running. And I loved it so much, I want to play it again. So, Coach O, are you concerned about your LSU defense?
Are you disappointed in the LSU defense in 2019? What do you say to
them? Hell no. I love our defense. We're 10-0. And listen, when you talk about that other stuff, it's block out the noise. All that stuff on TV don't matter. We got to play football games, and we got to focus in on the task at hand. And right now it's beating Arkansas, and that's all we focus in on.
That's right. And if the players can live up to that, that's great. LSU scoring 47.8 points per game, Arkansas 22.3 points per game. LSU's only allowing 23.8 points per game. When you look at it, that's not that much when you consider people so up in arms about this defense. Yes, they've given up chunk plays. There's no question about that. But on average, 23.8. Arkansas giving up 36.2 points per game. LSU, 49% run, 51% pass. They run it for 166 yards a game. They throw it for 390. The balance is unbelievable. And I'm of the belief, and I mean this, and I'm not wearing purple and gold shades and all that. I'm just being as honest as I can be. I really believe when push comes to shove, this LSU defense will rise to the occasion and play well. I just think it's human nature. I really, truly do. I think it's human nature. They exhale, and it just happens. But I believe that this defense has, and I'm always a silver lining in a dark cloud kind of guy. Always. Always have been, always will be. Knock on wood. I hope so. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to them against Ole Miss. I think it woke up that, I think it got them angry. I think it got them realizing, hey, if we want to reach the goals we want to reach, we got to get better. And I think they will. I really do. Big show planned for you and yours today. Michael Hugin, and normally we get him on a Wednesday, but with being off yesterday, we'll get him today. He's first in the lineup. We're going to pick the big games, Ohio State and Penn State, and some others as we watch Oregon and Utah and keep a focus on Oklahoma. Can A&M upset the apple cart when they take on Georgia? So we'll talk to Michael Hugin about that. Jeff Duncan about the New Orleans Saints will be in hour number one. Jerry Miller, color analyst for the Troy Trojans, 4 p.m. kickoff at Cajun Field. They're pretty good 5-5 team. They can score a heck of a lot of points. They just can't stop anybody. So we'll talk to Jerry Miller about the Trojans. And Brody Miller will join us from The Athletic, and we'll talk all about LSU and find out what his mailbag has been flooded with from Tiger Nation. It's all coming your way, brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. Over 60 in southern and central Louisiana. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, dude, you just can't shop right at all. First time out of the day, Michael Huguenin will pick all the games in college football next.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Holtberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Well, we welcome you back. Always great to get Jeff Duncan of The Athletic on the program as we talk all things NOLA. We'll even mix in some LSU Tigers and stuff. What a, again, not to sound repetitious, but man, could you ask for a better football year so far with what the Saints have done and what the LSU Tigers have done? Hey, Jeff, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, Jordy, and I agree with your premise. I mean, I think both LSU and the Saints have, like, legitimate championship aspirations, and it wouldn't surprise me if both of them won championships this year. I can't remember a year where both teams are as good as they are in the same season.
What is your thought process? Everybody up in arms about this LSU defense. When you look at things, yeah, they've given up some points, but what's your viewpoint on it?
Well, I think there's a little human nature going on, right? I mean, this team, when they've had to play, when the defense has had to play, I thought they played well. But they gave up some big plays to Alabama that were a little disturbing, a little head-scratching. So I think focus sometimes can be an issue. But what happened at Ole Miss was such an outlier that I can't help but think it was strictly focus and concentration once they got that big lead. So I'm not too concerned. There's too much talent there. They're too well coached with Dave Aranda. I think the issue right now is just trying to stay intense and focused with these next few games, because the bigger picture obviously is where everybody's minds are at right now.
Yeah. You know, everybody was talking about tanking for Tua. Now, in Cincy, they're bagging for Burrow. How about that?
I can't remember anything like what's transpired this year with LSU and Joe Burrow, and obviously bringing in Joe Brady. You know, I can think of the last 2 years having conversations with Ed Ogeron on the record and then off the record, and both times, he used the word game changer, and the only time he's used it with me in all my conversations with him, once was when they brought in Joe Burrow as quarterback, and the other time was when he brought in Joe Brady as the passing game coordinator. And both times he was dead on right. I mean, it's a completely different game that LSU's playing right now. They've got a quarterback that can compete with anybody in the country, and they've got an offensive system that rivals any offensive system in the country. It's really an NFL system. And they've got a coaching staff. I mean, he's improved the coaching staff to where they now, I think, are one of the preeminent offensive programs in college football. And just two or three years ago, they were in the Stone Age. It's been a remarkable transformation.
And he's – Ed has been a remarkable transformation. I could imagine him when he was coaching at Ole Miss, if his team gave up as many points as they did, he'd have ripped his shirt off. He'd have screamed and hollered. Now he says, we just showed him the film and gave him some love and gave him some cookies and back to work we go. So it's amazing how he has grown as a coach and figured out what works and what doesn't work.
And it's a really good lesson, I think, for everyone that you can't just judge anybody in any form of life or profession on their first opportunity. I mean, we all learn, we all get better.
That's a great point.
I'm certainly a lot better journalist and columnist than I was when I first started out. And I would guarantee you, if you talk to Sean Payton, he'd tell you he's a lot better coach than he was in his early days with the Saints. Bill Belichick's a great example in Cleveland. And I think Ed Ogeron has obviously proven that he's learned from the mistakes he made at Ole Miss. He's a much better head coach. He's not a micromanager like he was back then. He's letting his coaches coach, and he's serving almost as the CEO of the program. And as a Louisiana native, I don't know if you could have a better setup than what they have right now with him representing the university, and it's clear how much he loved LSU.
Yeah.
He's a great recruiter, and now you've got a staff that can handle the game plans and X's and O's and can match up with anybody in the country.
And the question I think that lies out there for Ed is his ability to continue to hire great coaches if and certainly when some of these coaches are tabbed for, whether it's the NFL or a head job on the collegiate ranks. That time will tell on that one. But do you foresee, because LSU – plays Arkansas, who is – my theory is this. LSU plays Arkansas. Arkansas is terrible. Ohio State gets to play Penn State. If Ohio State takes care of their business and continues to put the numbers up that they are, do you think the committee will flip-flop and put Ohio State 1 after this weekend?
I think it's possible. I don't know enough about how they judge those two positions, but I definitely think Ohio State has an opportunity because they're getting ready to get into the meat of their schedule. They've already had some impressive wins, and the fact is they've dominated almost everybody they played. They haven't had a game like Ole Miss last week where you give up a ton of points. So that's a critical position. You want to be at number one seed, I think, in this thing.
Yes.
Because the way it looks right now, three teams kind of stand out, and that 2-3 game is going to be, an all-out Donnybrook compared to, what happens at number one. And we still don't know how Alabama's going to factor into this thing now that Tua's out of the picture. I know one thing. If I'm LSU, even though I'm confident I'm better than Alabama, and I think they would win that game probably if they played again 7 or 8 out of 10 times, I wouldn't want to play them again just because of the mental hurdle you have to get over in that one. It almost seems unfair.
Yeah, I'm with you, and you make a great point. 2 versus 3 is going to be something because Clemson's going to be one of them, and you don't want to play them because they look like they're coming into form. So that one seed is very, very important. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Let's flip it over to the Saints. Great bounce back win against Tampa Bay, and now Carolina comes to town. Our good friend Mike Triplett wrote an article about DeMario Davis making a case as the Saints' best free agent of the decade. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. Obviously, Drew Brees is the greatest free agent signing they'll ever have.
Yeah.
But Davis is one of the most underrated players. When he came here from the Jets, I don't think any of us knew how good he is. And he's gotten better every year. I think he's developed. He obviously has a great work ethic. And I think he's the best linebacker they've had in the entire period, even better than John Vilma, who went to a couple Pro Bowls.
I mean,
Davis is a big-time player. He's a great leader, great locker room guy. It makes you wonder what the Jets were thinking letting him walk out the door because he's the kind of guy you build a whole defense around.
I'm with you. Jeff Duncan of The Athletic, kind enough to join us. I know Kyle Allen beat the Saints a year ago, but that game didn't mean anything. This game is too significant for New Orleans. Do you see any issues in this one?
No, I really don't. I think the Saints learned their lesson a couple weeks ago against Atlanta. They've got to bring it every week. They've got to have matched the focus and intensity that Carolina's going to have. Carolina's got their backs to the wall. They've lost two in a row, three of their last four. Their owner is coming out and having press briefings saying we're not going to accept continued mediocrity. I think he's putting everyone on notice. So you know you're going to get Carolina's best shot. But the Saints are simply a better team in all phases. They just got to bring it, bring the intangibles. And they didn't do that against Atlanta, and you saw what happened. But I think they learned their lesson that one. And I think they're going to give Kyle Allen a lot of different looks, confuse him. He's had some real issues. He had four interceptions last week. And I think he's going to have some real issues playing in the Superdome against a real Saints team as opposed to what he went against last year in that season finale when it was like half the team was on the bench.
Yeah, I'm with you. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. A game that was flexed to Sunday night, smart by the NFL, Green Bay at San Francisco. We get to play San Fran. We don't play great. Who do we want to win this game?
I think it doesn't really matter. I think, you know, that's what's going to be nice for the Saints is they can sit back and let those two teams kind of eliminate each other. Not eliminate, but at least give each other one of them's going to have a loss. I think the key for the Saints is trying to win out. I think the biggest hurdle is going to be this game in a week on Thanksgiving night against Atlanta because Atlanta's got a game here coming up against Tampa Bay. They could easily win three in a row and have a lot of momentum going into that big game on Thanksgiving night. But the Saints do not want to have to go to San Francisco or Green Bay, in January. So I think getting that number one seed is going to be critical.
Right. I'm with you. Well said. And Atlanta is the game that scares me the most based upon what they did to the Saints a couple weeks ago and the fact that they are red hot and they may be saving their coach's job. Coach Quinn, I mean, my goodness gracious. I would be remiss if I didn't get your pulse on this whole Colin Kaepernick thing, how that all was set up and how it all played out. What do you make of that?
You know, it's really confusing to me in a lot of ways. I don't know what the timing of it, why it was decided at the NFL office to do it then, why you wouldn't do it in the offseason. And I don't understand what Kaepernick's camp was doing, but, I guess having a disagreement about the waiver, which is a pretty standard form. It just seemed like both sides don't trust each other very much, and it was a shotgun marriage of an event, and it ended up being a debacle, I think, for both sides. And I don't think it's going to change anything how the teams feel about Colin Kaepernick. I think everybody feels the same way they did about him before the workout, so I'm not sure what it accomplished.
I'm with you. Jeff Duncan, The Athletic. Let's switch to something a little bit more fun to talk about. The Pelicans look like they have a pulse, and they, as they take on the Phoenix Suns tonight. What's your take on the Pelicans? I mean, ever since they inserted Kendrick Williams into the starting lineup, their defense has picked up. He's taking charges. He's rebounding. He's getting steals. He's defending. Doesn't look to score, but he's making an impact on the court. What do you think of the Pels here and now?
Well, I think they're finding their way. They still got a long way to go. I mean, this is a tough road trip they've got coming up at Phoenix, at Utah, and the L.A. Clippers. I mean, I think they'll do well to win one of those three. But I think they're in need of an alpha. I don't know if they have a true on-court alpha dog right now. I mean, I think Drew Holiday, they would like him to be that. I'm not sure he's comfortable being the leader on the court. Kendrick Williams is a great point, though. He's kind of their junkyard dog guy. He's the glue guy. Gets after people, I think.
Yeah.
His energy is contagious. I know they really like him, and I think you need a guy. I mean, you play ball, you know. I mean, sometimes you need the role players to kind of handle that dirty work and let the other guys do the scoring. But you have a guy like that does a lot of kind of unglorified work inside. But I just don't know if it's going to end up being Zion when he comes back. but they just seem to lack that guy on the court, the guy you turn to in the clutch. I know Drew had a big game the other night, and he's playing much better. So if this continues to go forward, that'll be a great sign. But I'm still kind of curious to see how it all plays out over these next few weeks, because the organization, Jordy, really wanted to see how they got through the first 20 games and evaluate the roster and the rotations and everything, because it's going to be a very difficult first 20 games. And right now, I think they're on a little bit of a roll, but it could go south quickly during this road trip.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm crazy. My prediction, I try to read between the tea leaves. I think Zion's debut is when they play on Christmas Day. Am I crazy?
Could be. I mean, that sounds about right, timeline-wise. He just had meniscus tear, a minor meniscus tear at that. That's not really that significant. I think he's going to come back maybe even quicker than people think, but they're going to be careful, extra cautious with him. He's so important to them long term. Yeah. But an injury like that, I think, is not one to worry about as far as his explosiveness, all the things that make him a special player. I think he'll still be the same guy. So that would be about right, though. That would certainly be a special treat for everyone wanting to see him finally get on the court.
Yeah, I sound like my dad now. I'm thinking the NBA is talking to their television partner. The television partner's going, it'd be pretty good if that's when he makes his debut. Wink, wink, nod, nod. We could really promote that thing. I sound like my father. Conspiracy theories.
Yeah, well, I think it's just classic Louisiana, right? We all love these conspiracy theories in this state, especially down here in New Orleans. I learned that when I moved here, man. I mean, I think all the years of corruption and backroom dealing and not taking anything for face value, I think all that's added up. And nobody trusts anybody.
Jeff, we have made you a true New Orleanian. How about those Louisville Cards? They got a good basketball team this year, man.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not putting my eggs in that basket. I know they're still going to get in that Kentucky game, Jordy, and lay an egg like they do every year. There's something about Kentucky that they just do not function when they get on the court there. It's tough to be a Louisville fan in this day and age.
You're the best, Jeff Duncan. Always appreciate your time, my friend. If I don't get to talk to you, happy Thanksgiving early to you, my friend.
I'll be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium over in Atlanta on Thanksgiving watching that Saints-Falcons game, and I'll think about it while I'm over there. You'll be parked in front of your TV, I'm sure, on your couch eating leftover turkey leg or something while I'm working.
That's right. You're working. He's the best, Jeff Duncan. We'll take a timeout. We'll be back. Close up hour number one next.
Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
And who doesn't love mouth-watering barbecue? Of course you do. Well, if you do, you got a chance to win a pair of $20 vouchers to Dickie's Barbecue Pit by simply texting Dickie's, D-I-C-K-E-Y-S, to 68683. Once again, just text Dickies, D-I-C-K-E-Y-S, to 68683. Get a chance to win a pair of 20-buck vouchers to Dickies Barbecue Pit. Brought to you by 103.7 The Game. Of course, LSU's playing Arkansas this weekend. It seems like the Arkansas fans, and deservedly so, are more concerned about who their next coach is going to be than the product on the field right here, right now. They're bad. Arkansas fans understand it. They'll have no one traveling to this game except for family of the players. I can't imagine fans going to it unless they just really love Baton Rouge. But one fan wrote in, if you want to bring excitement back to Razorback football and put fans back in the seats, then we need Coach Lane Kiffin. He's young. He's fiery. He's a great offensive innovator and master recruiter. He is in capital letters, exactly what we need to fix this program. That was on a Twitter message, a tweet, whatever you call it, to which Lane Kiffin responded via Twitter, "Thanks for the love, but I guess you've never been to Boca." Why would he want to go to Fayetteville, Arkansas, that hellhole, when he can look at the beach every day at Boca Raton? Seriously, pretty cool. Saw this story. I thought it was very interesting, very interesting. This weekend, the Baltimore Ravens take on the L.A. Rams in the NFL. And it's a Monday night matchup. And it's a critical game for the 6-4 Rams, who desperately need a win to remain in the playoff hunt one season after appearing in the Super Bowl, thanks to that, you know, the Nola no call. Anyway, Rams safety Eric Weddle played the previous three seasons with the Ravens. But Weddle said yesterday that he won't be sharing any inside secrets about his former team. Quote, "I could tell them a lot of stuff, but that's just not who I am. So we're going to play it on the field, and the best team is going to win." Even Rams coach Sean McVay, who calls the offensive plays and acknowledges Weddle's intelligence, he said he had not spoken to Weddle about the nuances of the Ravens' defense, which is limiting opponents to just 19.6 points per game. McVay says, quote, "I think he's got a lot of loyalty to those guys, even if he's not there anymore." However, the Ravens cornerback Marcus Peters, whom L.A. dealt to Baltimore in a mid-October trade, I bet you he's singing like a canary, like a canary. Asked if it could be considered unfair to share inside information about a former team, Sean McVay of the Rams said, "It's totally at each person's individual approach." What do you think about that? What would you do? You get traded? Do you have loyalty to that team that traded you? Do you give the inside secrets? I guess it is up to each individual. Weddle's not budging. He is not budging. He says, "I had a lot of respect for that place. Not only how it helped my career and rejuvenated my career, how they treated myself and my family, but it's a very tight-knit group. And what would I be? What kind of a man would I be if I just turned my back on all of them?" That's just pretty darn interesting, to say the very least. Huh. So, good for you, Weddle. You're not going to spill the beans, but you know what's coming. So you'll be ready, right? You'll be ready. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson, Cecilia exit in Brobridge. It's got everything you need for your travel party. Whether you're 95 years old or 5 years old, it doesn't matter. They've got something for everyone. Clean restrooms and that true soul food deli that's tucked away in the corner with the best cheeseburger you have ever tasted. DC's Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson Cecilia exit in Brobridge. That wraps up hour number one. Coming up, hour number two, Hot Topics. We'll get the lowdown on the Troy Trojans. They're a tough team to figure out. They're 5-5 overall, 3-3 in the Sun Belt Conference. They got a heck of a quarterback. They score a lot of points, but they can't stop anybody. And Michael Hugenin will pick the biggest games in the college football weekend ahead. All these stories and much more coming your way. Hour number two of the Jordy Helfrich Show here on KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game, which is the number one sports station in Acadiana. You're listening to the Jordy Helfrich Show. We'll be right back.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Helfrich Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Shorty Hulkberg.
All right, hour number two of two, and away we go on this November 21st. Hope you're having a great afternoon. We bring you all the way up to the 4 o'clock hour. My main man, CD, back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios on the campus of Delta Media, which houses KLWB, which is 103.7 The Game, which is Acadiana's number one sports station. This hour of the program brought to you by Peterbilt of Louisiana, the best truck on the highway. For years and years, the standard bearer of the industry, the most reliable, the most dependable, the most comfortable, the best looking, it is the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt. And we've got locations, Peterbilt of Louisiana in Lafayette, Lake Charles, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans. New car, new truck sales, used truck sales. We lease trucks. We've got all the service area that you need in case of something that goes awry. And we've got a parts department that is absolutely second to none. If you want the best of the best, Peterbilt of Louisiana is where you need to go. We do it every day at this time of day. Let's take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, do your thing, please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Oh, CD, I don't know if you saw, he's become one of the top 10 players in the NBA at such a young age, but Luka Doncic of the Dallas Mavericks had a 35-point triple-double in 25 minutes. I know it was against the injury-depleted Golden State Warriors, but 35-point triple-double with 10 rebounds and 11 assists in 25 minutes. I didn't think anybody other than a name from the past of a Wilt Chamberlain could do something like that. But what a basketball player he is. Good afternoon again, my friend.
Good afternoon, Jordy. You brought up Luka Doncic. You're talking about the fact he did that. I think what's even more impressive, Jordy, of course, we're 14 games into the season, and this is Doncic's seventh triple-double, yeah. Right behind a legend in Oscar Robertson, who had 11 through the team's first 14 games of the season. So I think that's even more impressive. But the most impressive thing that happened last night, Jordy, Ben Simmons made a three-pointer, y'all.
Yeah. I know he made one in the preseason, but
made one that matters.
Yeah, the first legit one that mattered. So maybe that's off his back now, and he can go to play. But yeah, good for him. I'm sure they gave him a rousing ovation, his teammates and whatnot. So good for Ben.
It took him 172 games to reach that mark. And when you look at the list of players that, you know, took 172 games to get that first three-pointer made, boy, not exactly Hall of Famers. Let's put it that way, Jordy.
Exactly. And I bet you they were all like 7 feet tall and pretty clumsy. But good for him. He's a heck of a player. And if he can continue, he doesn't have to shoot threes, but if he can continue to knock down some mid-range jumpers, he'll be a special player for a long time. But this Doncic, holy cow, he can do it all. When you can make Kristaps Porzingis your number two option, you got yourself a good team. And Doncic is by far their best player. And Porzingis, who's better suited for that role as the Robin to Batman, the Mavericks are pretty darn good and fun to watch.
It has just been fun to see what's been going on with those Mavericks. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a run this year because it feels like everything is going the Mavs' way after a couple of years of relative mediocrity. But we'll flip it on over, Jordy, to probably one of the biggest headlines that people have been talking about. And that is Memphis freshman James Wiseman being suspended an additional 10 games on top of the two that he sat out last week in Wednesday's win over Little Rock and Saturday's win over Alcorn State for Memphis. But on top of that, Jordy, I think the biggest thing that everybody's talking about is that he's going to have to donate $11,500 to a charity of his choice, which is weird, you know, the way the NCAA repayment guidelines are. pay to maybe spread throughout the duration of a student athlete's eligibility. Jory, this guy is going to go pro after this season. He's the projected number one pick. How the hell is he going to wind up paying $11,500? It's just it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard the NCAA do.
I would imagine that there is some company out there, or do we know specifically when he has to have the money paid back to that charity? Is it before he steps foot on the court again for Memphis?
No.
If not, I would say, look, I have a – go ahead.
It's got to be – because this is coming from the NCAA's repayment guidelines. I'll read the whole thing to you. Payment may be spread throughout the duration of a student-athlete's eligibility, but must be completed prior to the student-athlete's last regular season date of competition or contest. Again, he's got to wind up trying to find money by early March, $11,500. Yeah. And as a former college student, Jordy, try to find $11,500. That ain't going to work right.
He'll get a bank to loan him some money under the auspices of, I'm going to be rich real soon, and
yes.
We'll defer the payments until I get my first check, and we'll pay some interest on it, and it'll be a drop in the bucket. So that won't be an issue at all.
It won't be an issue
at
all.
That is bizarre. Totally bizarre.
It's just the weird. It's probably one of the weirdest things I've ever heard the NCAA try and put together. Because why even think that's a great idea? If you're the NCAA, we know how now they're starting to look into the image and likeness, but now it's like you're having to kind of have these guys, especially like in the case of Weissman, he's going to be a number one pick, going to be paid a buttload of money. But what if it's like a player from, let's say, a Division II college that isn't going to have a shot at the NBA? What happens there if that kind of situation arises? Is he going to have to fork over $11,500? That feels like a stretch and a half.
Nobody's paying that kid to go to a Division II school. How do you think Penny Hardaway got the head coaching job at Memphis?
Yeah.
He said, I've got this kid in my pocket. You hire me, I'll be the head coach. That's how it works. My goodness gracious. Hey, that kid at Division II, nobody's giving him any money to go there. No. This is a rare case with a special talent, and it'll be no problem getting that money. How about a GoFundMe thing? Can they rule that illegal? Heck no. GoFundMe, and he'll get the money from people, and it'll go straight to charity. It's easy. They'll get that done. No problem. No issues.
It's gonna be ridiculous to see what the NCAA does next, Jordy. But I'm having a lot of fun kind of just looking at everything that's going on around the world of sports. And we didn't get to talk yesterday. You were out on, we're just going to say, on assignment, I guess. And we had a lot of fun. Nick Fontenot filling in, but we didn't get to talk about the latest.
My daughter had a great.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my daughter had a great checkup with her surgically repaired back, so all is good. So continue.
That's fantastic.
What did I miss?
I mean, you missed a lot of different things, including the fact that the college football playoff rankings stayed exactly the same. Were you surprised by that, Jordy?
No, I wasn't, to be honest with you. I believe, and I've stated this before, I believe that there'll be a flip at the top next week. LSU plays an Arkansas team that's just woeful. If Ohio State takes care of business in a convincing fashion over Penn State, I think they might leapfrog over LSU. But we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see. But surprise? No, not really. Not really. Still a lot of football left to be played. It'll play out. But regardless, I still believe that LSU is in. Regardless of what happens, they've got to win the next two games. But if they lose that SEC championship game closely, I still think they're in. So I think they're in good shape.
Hey, Jordy, any chance you got a plane ticket to Cincinnati, Ohio this weekend?
What's going on in Cincinnati, Ohio this weekend?
I mean, you got the Cincinnati Bengals, Jordy. Tickets are as low as $5 right now to go see the 0-10 Bengals as they make their Tank Bowl a reality. They tank for Tua.
No, they're tanking for Burrow. Bagging for Burrow. Come on.
Yes.
Tua. No, they're bagging for Burrow. They're putting the bags on their head. They're putting Joe Burrow, his name on the thing and his likeness on it. bagging for Burrow. You can tank all you want for Tua. Give me the bagging for Burrow. That's what I want.
I'm telling you, Jordy, he's going to want to get traded just like Eli Manning did back in the gap. I guarantee you. He's not going to want to play for those Bengals. He wants to play for the Hoodettes.
You know who's going to end up getting Tua? He's going to be – it just would be the luck. He's going to end up, you know, people are going to be scared about it. It's the New England Patriots
get
Tua.
No.
I'm telling you, watch. You watch.
Oh, man, Jordy. I think everybody in the Acadiana area is not looking forward to seeing just the Tua Tagovailoa era of Patriots football, and it just never ends, just keep on winning. Even with Bill Belichick will be retired 10 years down the road, Tua Tagovailoa will still be winning Super Bowl rings, and the Patriots, watch, Nick Saban's going to coach the Patriots next.
Well, I mean, seriously, would it surprise you? I mean, would it shock you if that happened? It wouldn't shock me at all. It wouldn't shock me at all, but bagging for Burrow is the way to go, baby. Don't tank for Tua. Bag it for Burrow. There you go. There's your hot topics for the day. I'm sorry. I cut you off. No, anything else?
It's all good, Jordy. It's all good. I mean, we could definitely talk a lot. I know we won't have Frank Schwab on today, so why not get into some Thursday night football action? I think that's going
to
be
a fun
one tonight. Colts, Texans, and AFC South matchup. Two teams that are definitely fighting to try and secure the AFC South and, more importantly, a playoff berth. I think this is going to be a lot more fun and maybe not as controversial as last week's was.
Yeah. Colts were without that running back.
Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack. And that hurts them. So I kind of think Houston bounces back. It couldn't be any worse. So I'm taking Houston to win that.
I love it.
That's it,
Jordy.
All right. There's your hot topics for the day, brought to you as always by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Now, you know, the Biard family for nearly 90 years, through love, devotion, they have put out the best product day after day after day. They use the finest spices, they use the finest peppers, and they put out the best hot sauce. Shop local, help local. Get Cajun Chef Hot Sauce wherever you go. Bring a little bottle with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Boy, this next team scores a lot, but they give up a lot. We'll find out about the Raging Cajuns opponent on Saturday, the Troy Trojans. Jerry Miller, their color analyst on their radio network, joins us for a primer next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, the Raging Cajuns back in action this Saturday with a 4:05 kickoff as the Troy Trojans come to town. Troy scores an awful lot of points, man. They average 39 points a game. However, on the defensive side, they give up a bunch, 31.6 points per game. So let's find out about this team that has won some really good games, lost some tough ones. They score a lot, but, boy, they've given up a lot. On the call of the game on the Troy Sports Radio Network, the color analyst, Jerry Miller, kind enough to join us. Jerry, thank you for the time, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jordy. Looking forward to heading down to Lafayette tomorrow morning.
Outstanding. All right, you score a lot of points, and this Caleb Barker must be something. He's got 30 touchdown passes, the most by a Troy quarterback through the first 10 games of a season, and the second most in Sun Belt history. He's got 3,152 passing yards. That's the most in Troy's D1 history. Tell me about Caleb Barker and the problem he'll present to the Raging Cajuns.
Well, he's a fun kid to watch. You know, he's coming back from an injury, and he really worked hard in the offseason, and I think really has come into his own, really blossomed under Chip Lindsey's offense. It just fits him to a T. He's always been able to throw that deep ball, but under Chip, he's really become adept at throwing the intermediate pass, working through his checkdowns. And he's really blossomed. He's coming off a 6-touchdown game, which ties a Troy record as well, 6 touchdowns in a game. And he's looked really good all year. It's really helped him too, Jordy. We may have, as far as depth, one of the most talented receiving cores that we've ever had. He's got a lot of opportunities to get the ball out of his hand and into the hands of some playmakers. But he's really coming to his own. He's fun to watch. He doesn't rely on his feet as much as he used to when he first came up. You know, he could really hurt you with his feet. He can do enough with his feet to move the chains, to get away from some pressure, but he keeps his head down the field. And then, as I said, he's got a really good core of receivers to throw it to.
Jerry Miller, kind enough to join us. My goodness gracious, you score 43 points, you lose to Arkansas State by 7. You score 42 points, you lose to Southern Miss by 5. Man, you score a lot of points. Give me some of those other skill position people that Chip Lindsey, who was a offensive coordinator at Southern Miss, Arizona State, and Auburn before he came to Troy. Give me some of those skill position people that Cajun fans need to look for.
Yeah, no question about it. And remember, Jordy, this is after we lose the preseason player of the year, B.J. Smith. So
yes,
most of this has come without him in the backfield. D.K. Billingsley, a young guy, has really come into his own, and he will produce. But the real playmakers are out on the edge. You've got Kalen Geiger, who is not a big guy, but who can really make something happen. And you can see Troy will go to him a lot to really kind of set the pace, because that's really what Troy wants to do offensively, is really go at a hyper speed and keep the defense on their heels. But look for him. Look for a big kid out on the edge, Reggie Todd, who's got that big frame. He's a real matchup problem for any corner if you can isolate him. You've got Khalil McLean, who can make some plays out there. Luke Whittemore is really coming to his own. And then we mentioned D.K. Billingsley and Jabir Daughtry-Frye. They're not going to just pound you running the ball, but they can certainly if they get in a groove, they can do some good things running the ball. But they're really good out of the backfield, too. And I think Caleb, over the last couple of games, has really utilized that part of the offense to get it to those running backs as well as he checks down. And that's what Lindsey's offense is all about. He wants to keep you on your heels with the pace and just try to get it to one of those guys in space and then hopefully draw you in a little bit and maybe get one over the top. We've been able to do that some as well.
The stats don't tell the truth or something, but you know, Troy leads the country with 15 red zone touchdowns. They've had 17 wins over the last 22 Sun Belt games. They've forced, since 2016, 102 turnovers. That's the second most in the country. How is this team 3-3 in the league and 5-5 overall? I don't get it.
Well, you mentioned it. The problem has been on the other side of the football, where we've allowed just too many points. When you score 43 and lose, 42 and lose, you know, you can see where the problems are. And this is a team, if you look, Jordy, at the team that we closed the year out with after the bowl win last year, and then fast forward to the beginning of our first game this year, we counted it up. There were 15 players off of that defensive side who were being counted on in some shape, form, or fashion, who either chose to leave, didn't make the grades, or mostly injured. And that's, you know, we had a lot of young guys who have had to really step up. And I think if you look at the last couple of games, that defense has started to come into its own. We had 4 takeaways against Texas State. Okay. So you've got some young guys, just because they had to, they were thrown into the fire, have grown up, and they've grown up in a hurry, and they're starting to play with a little more confidence. And if you're a Troy fan, you're hoping that that defense can just get you 2 or 3 stops, because you feel like your offense can then, you know, turn that into an advantage.
Yeah.
So that's what we're looking for, you know, against the Cajuns, is to try to find a way to, you know, to get them off the field a couple of times and hope our offense can respond.
I was going to say, you're giving up 43% on third down conversions. That's just too much. But, you know, everybody talks about the Raging Cajuns and their running game. They've got 3 really premier running backs that like to just do it. But Levi Lewis has played very well as a passing quarterback of late. What is going to be the approach? What do you try and take away from UL?
Well, I think you've got to, in my opinion, you've really got to be good, really on first down defensively against them. You can't find yourself in second and short situations, or they'll beat you to death. They'll pound you, and your offense, as prolific as it might be, will be sitting over on the bench. So I think Troy's got to be really good on first down, and you might see them have to take a few chances there to try to get some stops early in the count, and try to get the Cajuns behind the chains a little bit if they can, because they can't afford to get on their heels. Now, that may open up some opportunities – over the top for the Cajuns. But I think you take that chance. I think Troy's got to commit personnel in the box to try to stop them, particularly early in the sequence, so that they can try to get the Cajuns in a more predictable passing situation where those young guys will have a little bit of an edge.
Well, you're coming off two straight wins, so you're peaking at the right time. I just noticed, I saw this, that Troy's the only FBS school in the country that hired a new athletic director, a new head football coach, and a new head basketball coach since January. You've had some handshaking to do and getting yourself acquainted with some people.
Yeah, I've been doing this 27 years. I felt like I was starting over. I was having to, make new friends all the way around. So it was kind of a tumultuous turnaround there. But I really think our administration has done a great job with all of the hires. We're excited about Chip. We had hoped that the record would be a little better. But, you can point to the fact that we've started 41 different players overall, 22 different starters on defense over the year. Yeah. So you can see where some of the issues were. The basketball coach is a known entity. You know Scott Cross, who was at UT Arlington. We're excited about
absolutely.
Him. We think he's going to absolutely turn the program around. And then our young athletic director, Brent Jones, was here on staff doing a great job, and I think he moved into that position quite easily. So we're excited about him as well. There's a lot of good things to be proud of at Troy, not just with those programs, but with facilities and some other things going on. And we're confident that Coach Lindsay, because I think you're right, I think this Troy team's playing their best here in November, which is when you want them to be. But they certainly recognize the challenge that they're going to have on Saturday against the Cajuns. That's a good, solid program. When you look at a team whose only losses are to Mississippi State and Appalachian State, you're going up against some guys who know how to get it done.
Jerry Miller, color analyst on the Troy Trojan Radio Network, thank you so much for your time. Safe travels to Lafayette. Eat well, okay?
Thanks, Jordy. We'll absolutely do that. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, buddy. You take care. We'll take a timeout.
There's only one place you'll find all the movers, shakers, and Tigers newsmakers. And it's right here on the Jordy Humpert Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right. I love his work for The Athletic, and that is Brody Miller, who's kind enough to join us again on this Thursday to talk all things LSU. Brody, good afternoon, man. And thanks for the time. How have you been?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you doing, Jordy?
I'm doing terrific. Have you ever seen a point spread like what LSU's favored by over Arkansas? My goodness.
Well, it's never been seen before in the SEC. I think my only real comparison that comes to mind is you see a good amount of these kind of spreads in the Big Ten where it's like Ohio State against Rutgers or against teams like that, or you see some Clemson spreads, but you just never really thought you'd see it in the SEC. I mean, it opened at 46. I think that was one of those offshore books. It looks like more, it's hanging around 43-ish. But still, that's pretty drastic. I can't say I've seen that before.
Talk to me about LSU's defense. I mean, look, I am not the type. I'm thrilled about this team. I just think their defense is an aberration. I think when push comes to shove and they have to play, I think there's enough talent there, and I think there's enough good coaching there where this team's going to be fine. I think they exhaled and they just took their foot off the gas, and give Ole Miss some credit. That's a fast quarterback, but I'm not really that concerned. Tell me if you are.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned. Do I think it's a great defense? No, I think it's a tier behind Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, the defenses of some of those other playoff contenders. Yeah, I'd agree with that. But LSU's offense is the best of those four. And I think the thing I keep going back to is when you have a schedule like LSU has, where even though Texas has dropped off, that was still a massive high intensity game. So you've had four top 10 matchups. When you have a schedule like that, the numbers are going to be a little skewed, and you're going to have some examples like the second half against Ole Miss where, you're going to see some more sloppiness because you're playing a pretty dramatic schedule. And I think you're going to have some drop-offs at times where And so that's why I go back to, I think there are flaws, and I think the number one flaw I go to is they allow explosive plays. That has shown true all season. Mm-hmm. Texas had big plays. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt had some. Like, they shut down Vanderbilt almost every play except for about five or six big plays. You know, that's, I think, maybe right. the best example all season right. of it. And then you go to the Alabama game, some of those deep shots. You go to Auburn, even had two big runs on them out of kind of nowhere. You know, and then obviously this week was the best example ever of it, probably. So I think that's a problem, and that, I think, goes back to some tackling issues, some discipline issues. But I also think some of that goes back to you're up 28-3 and you get a little sloppy. And when I say these things, this isn't necessarily a defense of LSU. I mean, that is a problem. You do not want that out of a number one team in the country to get sloppy in those situations. I just don't think it's a real indication of what this defense is. I'm going to judge this defense by how they look from a down-to-down point of view against teams like, you know, Florida, Alabama, you know, how they're going to look against Georgia, for example. That's why I'm really going to judge this team.
Georgia.
And when I look at the big picture, I judge this team as, I think it's a top 25 defense. I think that's pretty good. It's not bad. You can win a championship with a top 25 defense. It's just definitely not in the same class as some of those other contenders.
One of those key players who's back on the practice field, and that's senior linebacker Michael Divinity Jr. Ed Orgeron said he's not eligible. He wouldn't be eligible. It would be after a bowl. If there would be another bowl, there'd be a championship game. Maybe he will be eligible for that. Up until then, Michael will not be eligible to play. What's your thoughts on that scenario?
Well, it kind of backs up what we had, you know, most of us around this beat have been hearing since the day that he left the team and whatnot, which was, I mean, he was, you know, they say things like personal reasons, which is a general term that Orgeron uses to kind of mean it can mean anything. But to be clear, there are a few players have left the team this year that were actually for very, you know, personal family reasons.
Right.
Like, there are a few like that, but a lot of the times it can just be a take-all term. You know, he was already going to be suspended for about 3 games this season, and then there was another 6-game suspension coming. And, you know, LSU kind of said, you know, that time's up. So, and I think they kind of, when it was all said and done, realized, you know, it's best for the kid if he's back on the team and still kind of being around all these teammates and leaders and whatnot. I think it doesn't hurt LSU to have somebody of this caliber around the team on a day-to-day basis and helping them get better. And also, like we said, there is a chance that if all works out, that he could potentially be back by the national championship game if they make it. So obviously it's kind of worth the risk of doing that. It's a weird situation. I think it's still a fluid situation. I don't think anything's completely set in stone by any means, but it is a weird one for sure.
Ja'Marr Chase has become quite a figure. I mean, over 200 receiving yards. He gets into the end zone. Is he the most polished of all the receivers out there, or is what do the coaches say about these receivers, Jefferson in particular and in Chase?
Well, the coaches I think they do a good job of making sure they never give anyone any more credit than the other. They say they're
right.
A team, they help each other, all those things. But I mean, these two are just, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has gone, it's funny, about 6 weeks ago, The Athletic was putting together our midseason All-American teams, and, you know, there was one spot, and it was going to come down to Chase or Jefferson, and we couldn't really decide what we were thinking. You know, it was really close, and I, at the last second, said, all right, guys, I think you have to go Jefferson. He's the one with the better numbers, he's the more trustworthy one, you know, he's the one who's just been so consistent for 2 years. I would change that now. I would push for Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, he is just, and that's not a discredit to Justin Jefferson. I think he'll be a second-round pick. He's a fantastic receiver. But Ja'Marr Chase has taken to a new level. I think he's a legitimate contender for the Blitnikoff Award now. He's so skilled at everything. He's good as a jump ball guy. He's a good deep threat guy. He's a good possession receiver. And he's incredible after the catch. His ability to catch, you know, like a 10-yard route, the defender comes from behind, and he just kind of spins and shakes him off. That's NFL caliber stuff because he's strong, athletic, all those things. I mean, he's just so polished, and I'm really interested to see what he does next year without Joe Burrow. But and what's going to help Ja'Marr Chase's case when you look at things like the Blitnikoff, which I doubt he wins in the grand scheme of things, but it's possible. And what's going to help his case is that he's had the biggest games on the biggest stages. You know, he's been on national TV at least 4 or 5 times, and so people are seeing him do what he did against Texas and Alabama and Auburn and Florida and all these games. I think that's really going to help his case.
I know what's helped him, and you did this article. It's The Seeker, which is a robotic quarterback Tell me about that son of a gun.
So he hasn't used it much, actually, yet, because they've experimented with it, but they're not. LSU's not going to get their own one until January. But, yeah, it's a pretty amazing machine. It's called the Seeker, and it's basically the first robotic quarterback. And I really can't talk enough about how just kind of mind-blowing this machine is, because first off, just from a pure practicality standpoint, it's a jugs machine on steroids. It can shoot six balls in 9 seconds, and you know you can program exactly where you want to put it. You can just the potential is there to get so many more reps than a player has ever had before. So a third string guy, normally they'd be kind of feeding one jugs ball into a machine at a time and setting it up where you want to throw it, all these things. You can, tentuple the amount of reps you're probably getting now. They said they have one receiver who got 572 balls in an hour. That's ridiculous. But the coolest thing about it, the thing that I really want to drive home is the what's called their robotic mode, which basically they have a little chip that you put on the side of a receiver called the pulse tag. And it tracks, the machine can track every little thing the receiver is doing. So it knows how fast it's going. It knows what route it's running because you program that in. You know how quick he is, when he hits his break, how quickly he's coming out of the break. So this mechanical quarterback can hit the receiver in stride. It knows exactly when to throw the ball. It knows where the target is at all times. So it can actually lead a receiver and run real-time routes on it. And the applications for that are ridiculous. You can do that with you can experiment more with defenders and whatnot, actually playing defense on a guy. They're customizing it so different playbooks can put in there. So now you can actually put all the different routes in there. And I think what they haven't unveiled yet, but they will unveil, is that they're also going to have some incredible analytics that come with this. So you can see, okay, this receiver needs to improve on this route. This receiver needs to, maybe he's loafing a little bit, here. He needs to speed up here. They can actually track all that. So this thing, the applications here are just off the charts.
Wow. Brody Miller, well done of The Athletic. You have an LSU mailbag. I'm kind of curious as to what the LSU fans are submitting to your mailbag. Is it still a euphoric cast of characters, or do you sense some a fire Dave, or, crazy stuff. What do you sense from the fan base on what's been an incredible season to date?
Yeah, I think, I'm always a big believer that you have to start, when you start describing a fan base and things like that, you have to start with the fact that somebody who would take the time out of their day to write into a mailbag isn't probably the person who's relatively calm and just like, hey, I'm gonna write a question talking about how happy I feel. It's like how I feel about Yelp reviews. Not many people are going to take the time out of their day to leave a Yelp review saying, hey, this was a solid meal. You leave your review because you're angry. So I think a lot of the reviews I had, the questions I had this week were, I'd say it was 50% anger about the defense. Then I'd say it was actually pretty similar to the questions you asked today. It was about half about the defense. It was probably about a third about Jamar Chase and just how incredible he's been. And then you get a nice little mix of, some gambling questions. You got some recruiting questions. You got some Miles Brennan next season questions. But I think overall, I don't think people are angry with the team. I think when the team's this good, they're just so anxious and nervous and like pent up, like about, hey, they actually have a chance at winning this. Don't mess it up. So I think there's more of anxiety than there is actual anger.
I think I know the answer, but I need your opinion on this. If LSU does what they are supposed to do against an Arkansas, does Burrow even play in the second half? Do you just let Brennan play? Or do you pad those stats because you're thinking of the kid individually and all the great things he's done so far? A couple more touchdown passes in the second half wouldn't hurt his numbers with the Heisman, blah, blah, blah. What do you think happens there if LSU takes care of their business?
Yeah, I think now that he is such, I think he is such a dramatically heavy lead in that Heisman race. I want to say it's like 1 to 10 odds now. I mean, it's pretty drastic how heavy of a favorite he is. That aside from maybe Justin Fields going on a crazy run against, in 3 top 10 games, chances are this is his as long as he doesn't dramatically mess up. And then you add in the Tua situation last week and just all the things surrounding that. And Ed Ogeron even said that they're going to pull him the second they can. They want Miles Brennan to get reps. My guess is that Joe Burrow comes out the second halftime hits if they have the kind of lead that you and I expect. I just think all right. I think there were some games earlier in the season where LSU absolutely left Burrow in a little longer than they normally would because they wanted him to get those Heisman numbers up. I think that's 100% true. But I think now you just don't have to anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's what I was thinking as well. I personally don't play Grant Delpit in this game. I get him all the rest he can and save him for A&M. That's just me. What do you think of that notion?
In a perfect world, I completely agree. I guess I don't know the exact specifics of his medical situation, but if it's even remotely iffy, I agree. And I also mean that for his case, because he's somebody who, if we're being honest, is probably losing quite a bit of money because of just what
no
the product
question.
Is on the field this season. And I think he needs to just get 100% or close to that as he can, and then actually go out there and show what he can do again. Now, the big wrinkle here is, I'm not confident enough to say what the situation is, but I mean, LSU's depth is so thin at safety right now because you had two or three players transfer out of the program. You had Todd Harris go out for the season. Eric Monroe is probably the next guy up, but he's another guy who, you know, he's always kind of banged up on his own too. So I just think it's a little hard for them to feel really confident about saying, hey, we're going to bench Grant Delpit and we'll take this one easy. It's unfortunate that's the one position that's hard to do. It's also why, you know, Kerry Vincent, for example, actually still played quite a bit last week. But, you know, in a perfect world, I couldn't agree more with you.
If there was no, you had to stay 2-3 years, if you took this team and everybody was draft eligible, Burrow would be number one. I think Ja'Marr Chase would be number two. Would it be safe to say that Derek Stingley would be number three off the board?
Ooh, that's a fun one. I like this because my gut's telling me Derek Stingley would be number two, actually. Well, actually, okay.
Ooh, okay.
This is tough. I think, okay, so if we're judging this by, you know, how the draft works and all these kind of things, yeah, I guess Joe Burrow's a quarterback, we'll go number one. But I think on this entire football team, Derek Stingley is the number one NFL prospect. You know, I think he is going to be.
Okay.
First off, he's so young and he's already a top 5 to 10 corner in all of college football. He has more upside. He's a freak athlete. He's developed. He's smart. I think he's going to be, you know, like, I'm trying to think of a great comparison of an NFL guy going, LSU guy going in the draft. Patrick Peterson comes to mind. I'm not sure, but I mean, he is an all time prospect. So I think he's probably number two. Ja'Marr Chase is right next to him.
Okay.
That's when it gets really interesting because then you got, you know, maybe do you go Delpit next? Christian Fulton's right there. Kalevon Chaisson's put his way into the first round. That's when it gets pretty interesting.
Yeah, and don't forget Justin Jefferson. He's pretty good too. So
you're not wrong.
Yeah, that I think my mind could be changed on that with Stingley. I could definitely see that. And I still think, you know, Coach O promised him before his career's over, he's going to play on the offensive side as well. Can't wait to see that.
some LSU people have told me that might not be completely true, and that might be Ed Ogeron might have been making a joke. I'm still not 100% sure on that situation.
Okay. It looked like Coach O was the Pied Piper of all those kids in his driveway.
Yeah, it's hard to state the love, I guess, Ed Ogeron's feeling right now. I'm not saying it's completely accurate, but the fact that you had a, you know, Democratic strategist saying that, you know, that LSU beating Alabama might have made the difference in the governor's race, I think that tells you the cloud that Ed Ogeron's sitting on right now. He's on top of the world, and there's no doubt about it. Because, I mean, he's already the perfect guy for this job because he's Mr. Louisiana. He's all those things, but no one thought he was good enough to do it. So if you combine a true Louisiana guy and winning, there will not be a more popular person in the state.
And just the most incredible transformation, a man that made mistakes, realized it, learned from those mistakes, and has gotten better for it. It's a great story in any walk of life how, you know, you just learn, you plug away. I mean, you're a much better journalist now than you were 2 years ago. There's no doubt.
That's true. I would hope I'm a much better journalist than I was 2 years ago, but who's to say? But yeah, no, I mean, it's, and I think you're seeing a lot of, I'm not sure if teams are thinking this way, but I've seen a lot of good pieces of, you know, a lot of reporters writing some stories that kind of say, hey, maybe teams should change the way they look at hiring and not always just go with the hot shot guy and go with the guy who was actually who's learned things and knows what he's doing, because it's funny how for about 50 years, I think coaching was backwards because it only hired these really experienced guys, right? And then you finally saw it move backward the last decade where, okay, let's go with the smart guy. Let's go with the really upside guy, guy with ideas. And now I think you're seeing it kind of revert back a little to the middle, which I think is probably where it needs to be.
Brody Miller of The Athletic, thank you, sir. We'll be back to wrap things up here on The Jordy Helfrich Show.
All the best guests join The Jordy Helfrich Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
You know, the Raging Cajuns putting together this historic season, and Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game wants to send you and a friend to cheer on UL to victories in their final two regular season games at Cajun Field. So just text Cajuns, C-A-J-U-N-S, to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to this Saturday's game against Troy at 4 o'clock or the November 30th game against in-state rival UL Monroe. Once again, just text Cajuns, C-A-J-U-N-S, to 68683 for your chance to win a pair of UL tickets brought to you by 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. And everybody all together now, go Cajuns! All right, on this day in sports history, November 21st, the year 1934. A pretty good purchase by the New York Yankees, who bought Joe DiMaggio from the San Francisco Seals of the Pacific Coast League. How'd that purchase turn out? Yeah, pretty good. One of the all-time legendary greats. Joe DiMaggio, on this day, became a New York Yankee, November 21st, 1934. If today is your birthday, then November 21st is a special one, as well it should be. We wish you a very, very happy birthday. You share your day with 53rd birthday. Happy to Troy Aikman. Happy 50th to the kid, Ken Griffey Jr. And happy 74th birthday to Goldie Hahn. Who doesn't like Goldie Hahn, right? Who doesn't? On the LSU side of things, from Shreveport, boy, he was a he had a wingspan that could run and jump. Shocked that he wasn't a better NBA player. Happy birthday to Stromile Swift. And from the baseball side, left-hander Jared Poche. If it's your anniversary, happy anniversary to each and every one of you. Thanks to our guest Brody Miller, Jeff Duncan, Jerry Miller, Michael Huguenin. Tomorrow is a Football Friday. Thank you, CD, for all that you do. Thanks to all of you for listening in, however you may. And thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4, same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, we only have one Thursday, November 21st. Make it a great one. And stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.